Good morning. My name is Jim Fincham. I'm CPSS, Consulting Soil Scientist in Northeast Ohio. And I kind of want to talk this morning about how a soil scientist has to be one who is an investigator, has to have a certain amount of curiosity. We're going to talk about in situ application of coring tools to evaluate the presence of iron and manganese in surface layers of aquic soils. I live and work in Northeast Ohio. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of a snow belt. We get upwards of 50 to 70 inches of precipitation a year. And when I moved into the area 25 years ago, I was challenged by the local health department to try to assess as to why they had so many failed septic systems. Aquic soils are conditions where you have anaerobic conditions over extended periods of time, and usually that's because you have an excessive amount of water. We looked at hydraulically overloaded systems. Technically, to the health department, that's a failed system. It's discharging untreated sewage to the surface of the ground. We started in 1989. Trying to research just exactly why these were occurring. We looked at over 300 overloaded systems. Approximately 200 of these systems were found to be hydraulically overloaded by malfunctioning household appliance, mostly the toilet. It's stuck, it's running. A toilet that's running half a gallon a minute will put over 1,200 gallons out in the field in a day. Most of these septic systems are designed to handle 300 to 400 gallons per day over a period of time. Others were the footer or the downspout was piped into the septic system, going out into the field. Really pretty thoughtless kinds of things. The remainder were receiving extraneous water from groundwater sources. Seepages, which is an event that the best I can understand is that at one point in Northeast Ohio, and that's what I have to talk to because it's where I'm familiar, there had to have been huge earthquakes that took very, very large blocks of soil, and I'm talking acres in size, and shifted them against one another, causing a plain. And these are 6-8 feet deep, so it is not normal soil genesis. And these cracks have been conducting water downhill ever since it occurred. And you will find on the faces of this anaerobic low chroma surfaces that would suggest that we have had anaerobic conditions for years and years and years. The way I found that out was we did an excavation of a basement in fairly dry weather. When we finished, went home for the night, there was no rain, there was no anything. It was moist in one corner. Came back the next morning, and in one corner, well, actually, the uphill side, the whole thing had fallen in, exposing a very gray surface. Well, there was 2 feet of water in that basement. No rain, and that got my attention as to, okay, where's that water coming from? Because we were 6 and 7 feet deep, and that whole plain was a low chroma. Anyway, these seepages, if you include them in a septic area, and eventually this crack in the soil does end, well, that's where the water comes to the surface. And if you include that in a septic area, guess what? You've got a hydraulic overload, to say the least. Where these have happened, I've had excavators tell me that, you know, fairly dry weather, they would excavate the septic trenches, and before they could backfill, it was full of water. Some of these sites are only 10 feet by 10 feet. So you really have to do a very intense investigation in order to know that these are there and that you're going to risk some responsibility when the system fails, and they're going to come back and say, you didn't find this. Other causes for these failures or hydraulic overloads were unidentified apparent or perched water tables that were higher than what had been discovered. And here again, we have to use the right tools in order to see what is being used. To discover why these systems were failing, we started out with this 100, and we used a subsoiler to remove any compaction mechanically introduced by the rubber tire backhoe, whatever. And actually, having done 100 systems, 94 of these were rehabilitated to a very high degree of efficiency, where they had 500-foot system, 500-foot lines. We actually were coming up with a utilization of only the first or maybe the second line. The rest of the system stayed dry. So compaction was a huge problem. Saying that you don't want rubber tire machines on these delicate surfaces because any pressure whatsoever is going to collapse the macro pore space and the micro pore space, and what you're doing is creating a tomb for the water. Six of the systems, 94 we helped, six of them we couldn't. We found that the perched water table or the apparent water table was within the soil surface and had not been detected. These systems were rehabbed to good condition in dry weather only and about 6 months, which constituted about 6 months or less in an average year. You know, if you're only going to get 6 months out of a septic system, that means you're tolerating, you know, hydrogen sulfide and ammonia or methane gas, the odoriferous gases, considerably. So it's not something you want to do. This is the Thai paratil that we use to subsoil and remove the compaction. We set the two middle legs so that they were just outside the trench. This only works with gravel trenches. The new plastics, you just dislocate them. With gravel, you can slide the soil up, flex it, take compaction out, and it just sets right back down. You don't really disturb the gravel that much. And if you do, it doesn't have an effect. This is the other side of it. It's a tool that's patterned very much after a plow. You can see the points down here. The soil goes over. Can I back this up? Yeah. The soil comes over. Lifted up, comes over, goes over this plate, and the plate actually causes the soil as it flows over it to be flexed in a myriad of directions. So that when it lays it back down, assuming it was dry enough that, you know, the flexing is going to have an effect, you have no compaction left whatsoever. And it is an absolute wonderful tool for agriculture. Especially when you consider that many people suggest that 50% of production limitation is due to mechanically introduced compaction. Soil indicators. When we looked at these six systems, we noticed almost every time, well, actually it was every time in those systems, that there was a high water table that had produced concretions and soft bodies of iron and manganese. And this is here's the manganese. You got some iron through here. But these are the things that are inside actually a surface layer, a horizon, of a soil that looks just like every other portion of whatever lawn or whatever landscape you're looking at. And unless you're using the right tool, you're not going to see these things. When you use an auger, you get a disturbed core. The handbook for describing soils on chapter 2 says that a core tool brings out an undisturbed soil sample, and an auger brings out a disturbed. Well, when we're looking at soils where we are so critically reviewed by, if it fails, you're going to pay, it seemed like it would behoove us to be looking at undisturbed cores to see what is really there rather than bringing out a disturbed core. Iron and manganese concretions result from oxidation reduction in soils. The bacteria that are always active in the soils, are getting electrons off the decomposing organic matter, transferring them to oxygen. When the oxygen has been utilized or reduced, then it gives it to iron and manganese. The iron and manganese then accept the electrons, become water soluble, and in anaerobic water that's been there a while, you will have a good saturation of iron and manganese. The dissolved iron and manganese, then when the soil begins to fill up by whatever rain or snow melt event, it's always by preferential flow. It's not a matter that it all goes down and raises the water table. It goes through the greatest access and the water table raises from below. That means it's carrying all that iron and manganese up into the surface layer where there is oxygen, and it then gets rid of the electron, oxidizes, and creates our symptoms, the iron and manganese concretions in soft bodies. Visible iron and manganese indicates saturation. We use 3% hydrogen peroxide to check to make sure that what we're looking at is manganese, because it reacts specifically. It does not react at 3% with organic matter. The entire volume of the soil effervesces, and this is where you can see the effervescence is throughout. It just because you see a concretion or soft body does not mean that there's not some more that you can't see. And I'm finding that when I see the symptoms, it is full of manganese, which means we have continual fluctuation of that water table up into the soil. Coring tool, it's essential because the organic matter is masked by, the iron and manganese are masked by organic matter. With a disturbed core, you are not going to see the iron and manganese. Coring tool allows a very sharp slice, and again, you can see specifically we have manganese, iron, all kinds of it, which means that that entire volume is totally saturated with iron and manganese, giving us obviously what you would expect. A very high water table, that means you got glasses full, you can't put any more in it. Just a reference to using peroxide. This is the equipment I use. We take a small core. As an example here, it was taken out of an area that had a septic system. If you want to see that later, you can see the iron and manganese. The coring tool or the probe is down below. We use a 3-inch tube that we drive into the ground with a big rotary hammer. This Argo, you saw a picture of it earlier on one of Pierre's slides. We had the tracks on it in the wintertime. This thing will go anywhere. We got a generator, and we can carry it anywhere. Some of these cores that I've shown you came from this lawn, and just saturation of iron and manganese. There's the coring tool. Conclusion: using other than a soil coring tool, iron and manganese are masked by organic matter. Failure to observe the iron and manganese in the surface layers introduces liability expense of having to replace newly installed septic systems. Disturbed samples versus undisturbed cores. Professionalism says that to present the most accurate information possible is how you avoid liability. I take it I'm done.
We have a short break, and then we will start precisely at 11 o'clock on the next four presentations.